This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
It's Ciso.
Hello and welcome to a legendary episode of Seagull Social Season 4, Episode 28. We've got Ben Spaulding, we've got a Maz via Skype on a Meagle, and this is by far one of the greatest episodes of Seagull Social that will ever have existed, regardless of how Maz's setup has taken half an hour. But if we excuse that bit, it's been absolutely unbelievable 24 hours. I'll start with you, Maz, because I've... Ask you about the current quality that you're in.
He's just tried selling us a new SIM contract, even though we've got a new SIM. I keep telling him I've just upgraded my phone.
Yeah, let's all laugh at that.
Apart from that aside, Maz, you must be buzzing, mate.
Yeah, no, an incredible, incredible day at the Amex. It was a bit of a long journey for me, but we got there in the end. And yeah, no, it was just incredible. I thought after that third goal, I don't think I've ever seen atmosphere like it in the Amex, which was, incredible. And, just what an incredible day. Iran had won in the morning. We just beat Japan and Mitoma. That meant Mitoma comes back to Brighton. So I was like, what a great start to a Saturday this is.
Ali goal.
Ali Reza Jambash with a goal as well in the 96th minute. So Iran are through to the semi-finals. Matoma's coming home. Great start to the day. And then we beat our arch rivals 4-1. At the Amex. So yeah, incredible day. And the atmosphere was top, crack, as Deserving would say.
I for one loved it too, Maz. But Ben, mate, how are you in the North Stand? I imagine you were probably trying to remember the game as much as you can. Were you West Stand?
I was Northwest, like in that little corner bit. Yes, so I was having to sit down, which wasn't fun. But I feel like that Crystal Palace fan outside the Falmer station. That's how I feel. I feel horrendous. I was out last night, as you can imagine, trying to enjoy it as much as possible.
I'm allowed to laugh at that.
And lap it up. So if the comments are going to be like, how are you turning up hungover to a podcast? It's because we just beat Palace 4-1 and the Brighton boys are on the beers. It's literally in the song. So I had to do it. And I'm absolutely buzzing. What an absolute result. What performance. Seeing the Palace fans screaming at their players at full time, leaving at 65 minutes, running away from the boys outside the ground. The whole day was just perfect. And we finally got our Crystal Palace drumming that we've been crying out for. And it comes after the match where I thought we were potentially going to lose. So it's just mad to think that the past like six games we've had with them, I'm always thinking we're going to beat them and then we never like actually thrash them. But we finally done it. And what an absolute unbelievable day. And I'm also on a little botch setup, but managed to bring my microphone. So I hopefully don't sound horrendous, apart from my throat.
Yeah, to be fair, my throat's been the same this morning. But I mean, you say 65 minutes fans would leave him, but I mean, that's kind, to be fair. I mean, our friend Talk CPFC Ollie had left after 39 minutes. He was already in a pub.
No
Brighton,
way.
By the 40th, I think. He put it on his TikTok. I would say shout out Ollie, but there's absolutely no way he's watching this unless he wants to torture himself. I can see the frustration from Palace fans was absolutely unbelievable. But More importantly, forgetting the turmoil that Palace are in. Okay, they were without Eze and Olise, but we were without Mitoma, Adingra, Fati, Solly, Nciso, Veltman. We only just got Lamptey back. João Pedro was down to a late check. So it's not like we were exactly free with loads and loads of players available. James Milner as well. So we've beaten them when we're in a much worse position, sort of on the pitch in terms of who we've got missing. But yeah, Palace just not even close to us yesterday. Not even close. There wasn't even a moment apart from their goal, really, where you could have said you were worried. But we'll start it from the beginning. Yeah. Right at the beginning, actually, where Lewis Dunk, if you were to paint a picture of an opening goal where De Zerbi said after Luton he was hurting the most, it's no coincidence, Maz, after 2 minutes, we scored from a corner and it was Lewis Dunk against Crystal Palace in front of the away end.
Oh, mate, what a start. And also as well, what I loved as well was Jack Hinchinwood's little... He was giving it some as well after Dunkey scored. So that was class. Like, the local lads just giving it some to Palace. But yeah, from a corner as well, which isn't... You know, we're not exactly the most prolific from corners. So that was nice to see in the second minute.
The script writer went off with that one, didn't he? Opening goal was a set piece.
literally. Great header, great leap. I saw a few people saying that potentially Dunkey put his hands into Anderson, but I'm not having that at all. I think that would have been the most softest foul, if you were to give it, in the world. Great leap, great header. And yeah, what a start. I think to score so early on in a game against Palace, I think is so important. And it just set the tone for the rest of the afternoon, I think. And that first half was just an absolute whirlwind. And to get us off to such a great start from a corner, and considering we scored from another corner, from another set piece, just says it all, really. But yeah, what a start. And no one better than captain, leader, legend, Lewis Dunk, just to give it some as well. Because he gets it pelters, doesn't he, from Palace fans. They, you know, we won't say exactly what they say all the time, but he gets it a lot from them. It was extra nice that he got the goal as well.
Yeah, Ben, come on, follow up with it, because I want to hear your thoughts on the Dunk moment as well, because we've been crying out for it for so long, a Dunk goal against Palace. Okay, the header was a little, maybe he wanted a bit more of a connection, but the jump, as you say, Maz, was brilliant, and the way he's got away from Anderson. Tell me about it, Ben, I want to hear some.
Well, it's just like, I don't know, I feel like we probably learnt something off Luton. The way we came out of the blocks, we just were just on like so intense straight away, and that was so great to see, obviously bouncing back from the disaster class at Luton. Just Dunk, I think everything that Matt says, Dunk scoring in front of the Palace fans. I would rather him celebrating and scoring in front of the Palace fans than in front of the North, to be honest, especially in that game. It was just incredible. And yeah, all the players were giving it, not just the local lads. Like, there's a brilliant video of someone filming behind the goal. That's on the Premier League account. And it's Billy Gilmore running up to him going, God, right in front of the Palace fans. They must have been absolutely hating it. And yeah, you couldn't have wished for a better start and a better player to score against them than Lewis Dunk. So yeah, and it just set the tone for the rest of the game, really.
It wasn't too long ago that we were almost questioning if we had any players that really got it. It was a bit of a rivalry, potentially lost rivalry with Zaha going, and you know, with us thinking, you know, do we have the players to really be the villains? But it seemed like the players just absolutely 100% got it yesterday. That brings it on to the sort of second and third goal, which happened so quickly. Obviously, Hinchinwood, it's a great cross from Tarek, by the way. Such a great cross. And the way it's hung up in the air, Hinchinwood in the air, Maz. I mean, the headers, they're so well placed. It's the second time he's done it. But it's a great header.
I don't want to say for a little man, because obviously that's a bit contradictory considering I'm a very little man. But no, he's on the shorter side. I wouldn't say he's not short, but I wouldn't say he's actually tall.
He's like 5'11", isn't he?
He's definitely above the national average. Let's just say that. he's got a great leap on him, and yeah, great header. Like you said, Ryan, shout out to Lamptey. I thought, considering what his first start in a long time, and there was lots of chat about, you know, is he the long term? Is he going to stay here long term? Is he just going to keep getting injured? All that kind of stuff. And yeah, he provided that cross, a great cross. Only thing I'd say just quickly on Lamptey, I thought in the second half he was much more reserved. I would have liked to have seen him take on players a bit more, and you know, just to take that extra bit just down the line. And I thought first off he was great. I just thought second off, maybe, because I did see, actually, funny enough, where I was sat, I could see the is it Maldera, the assistant? He kept saying to Lamptey, is your hamstring okay? Like, he kept pointing to his hamstring and going, are you okay? So I don't know if that was just like a fatigue thing, and, you know, maybe in the second half he was just a bit more fatigued and just didn't want to risk any injuries. But fantastic cross. And going back to Jack Hinchwood, great header. And again, another local lad scoring
so good
against Palace.
In front of him.
You could see the passion as well. Even after the game, he was giving it to, you know, the North Stand. He was, you know, doing the whole lapping it up and stuff. And I love that. And even you can see Dunk as well telling Hinchwood, go over there, like, this is your moment. And I love that. I thought that was just, it just shows, yeah, what it's all about. And the fact that, again, another local lad scoring in such an important game, like you said, Ben, after such a disappointing loss against Luton, to then go 2-0 up within the first half. At that point, you're thinking, this is it, we're back. We know we can play like this. And then, like you say, Brian, we scored the third quite quickly after, but I'll let Ben and you talk about that.
For those full-time scenes, I absolutely love it when they do that. And so we've done the first, hey, with Jack, and then we were going, straight away to do for someone else to do it. And Jack was like kind of telling Dunk to come and do it, and then Dunk was like trying to get Buzz to do it as well. But I think eventually, he just said, no, Jack, you do it again. So Jack did it again. Hopefully that's like I know we do it quite a bit. I think against Sheffield United, it was João Pedro that done it. So hopefully this becomes a very regular occurrence every time we beat someone, which I think it is anyway. But Jack Hinchwood's header. I feel like he scored a very similar one, didn't he? Was his first goal like that? They're not like bullet headers, are they? They're just so well placed that they bounce before they go in, that they're just that nestled into the bottom corner. So the keeper can't really do anything about it. Go straight across the goal again. So maybe that's his trademark. Who would have thought that such a small man could produce header after header? So hopefully it becomes that becomes a regular occurrence as well. Sorry, not a small man, because average height, obviously.
Yeah, above average.
Yeah, looping headers are great, you know, like the way that it, I don't know how he does it. It's gets his neck fully into it, doesn't he? I mean, the amount of power he has to generate to keep it in the air for that long to just loop over the goalkeeper. As you say, it's so well placed. But yeah, as I said earlier, you couldn't have written a script with better start for goal scorers, Hinchwood and Dunk. And I mean, I know he's not a Brighton boy, but I just feel like he's one of ours, isn't he, Facundo? Everyone just wants him to do well. It's a bit like Julio last season. Like, I just feel like we've got such an attachment to Facundo Buonanotte. So seeing him get the next one was just absolutely magic. I mean, at that moment, I mean, it was, what, about 60 seconds? It's Adam Wharton, wasn't it? The new man. £22 million. Thank you very much. Pascal Gross just nicked it straight off him. Bullied, if you would. It's so composed from Gross. He could have easily been selfish there. He's laid it off to Facundo Buonanotte. Yeah, and at that moment, I just absolutely lost my head. Like, fully. Yeah. I cannot even tell you how much I lost it. And it was great. It's those sort of moments, isn't it, Maz? That's just football. 100% emotion.
Oh, mate, it was incredible. Yeah, the same as you, Ryan. Literally, I just jumped on my mate's... G, who I go with, his dad was there, and I literally just jumped on him after the third goal. Everyone was just going mental. Yeah, like you say, you can't really put prices on those kind of moments. Like, to go 3-0 up in the first half against Palace, which we rarely ever do. Like, we rarely ever thump them, like you said, Ben. And to finally sort of get in the first half 3-0 up, you're like, what is going on? But yeah, just quickly, shout out to Pascal Gross. That touch, that little flick on was unbelievable.
Because João Pedro drilled it into him as well, and he just controlled it so well just to carry it forward.
I want to play. And then the finish as well, the Buonanotte curl, it was just beautiful. Ryan, just going on your point of Buonanotte, he's becoming a bit of a fan favourite now, isn't he? Just because, do you know one thing I noticed as well with him, which I loved? After that third goal, as soon as Palace took their kickoff after the third goal, he was sprinting towards them. He was like gut busting to get the ball off them again. And I just love that kind of passion and that desire to get the ball back and to go for the fourth after the third goal had gone in so quickly. Like, it just shows that he's got that desire and that drive to just always want to be on the ball, you know, win the ball back for his team. And it just shows lots of qualities you want to see in a footballer, especially at your club. So yeah, I love that from him, seeing that after that third goal, him just running at the Crystal Palace players, just trying to get that ball back was great. But yeah, the finish was superb. And he's adding that to his game, isn't he? That goal against Sheffield United we saw, unbelievable. Oh, and then he scored that goal yesterday as well. just a great, great finish to put it past Henderson. So yeah, it was just a beautiful goal all round, really.
It's absolute delirium because of how the quick succession's goals. Like, the West Ham hadn't even sat down yet.
Usually
the crowd are pretty quick sitting down as soon as they can. But actually, I feel bad for the woman that was sat next to me because one time I sat down, actually, like, she had her leg underneath my chair and just like went straight onto her leg. She went, "Ah!" Like, screamed.
I was trying to play footsie.
Yeah, she was trying to, bless her. But yeah, it was so good. And yeah, great finish from Facundo. I really want us to get that song going. You know, the "Gol Facu Buonanno."
Oh, that is so good.
Yeah. That would have been good. We need to get that going properly. People need to learn it a bit more. But I love it. He seems to be thriving now. He's always good. He's going to be a bit inconsistent, isn't he, with his age?
Only thing I will say, now that Ronaldo is playing so well, when all our players are fit, how are we going to fit everyone into the starting 11? This is what's going to blow my mind.
Those five players that we always say are coming back, and even Ansu Fati's back now with braids, by the way, they look fucking class.
Yeah, he's cooking.
I think it was me and you, someone else. Yeah, I can't remember who I was talking to, but it was like the league is over. Those braids are going to win us the league anyway, just on their own. where do they all fit? Like, that's going to be something that's going to be a massive headache for the Derby when everyone is fit. The likelihood of everyone being fit is obviously pretty peak for us anyway, because that barely ever happens this season. But if we did have a fully fit squad, like, that is so hard to get all of those players into the team. Look, thank God I'm not the Brighton manager.
Yeah, I want to just take on your little point on Facundo, because it's really worth saying now, while we absolutely love him, remember that he's 19. And that's what we need to say to everybody that's listening to this podcast, because if next week he's not very good, he's 19. He's from Argentina. He's a young kid. So remember that. So there's going to be inconsistencies in his game. There's going to be times where he's going to be... Yeah, there's going to be moments where he isn't as good as that, because that's just how it works. But like Tarek, as you say, has that little drop off in the second half. It's going to happen because we've got a very, very young team, probably one of the youngest in the league. So, just remember that with Facundo. These players have to take time. He is an unbelievable talent. He's going to be such a big player for us. I can just see it. But yeah, just remember that next time while we're on the high, remember that can happen and probably will happen sooner rather than later.
I think, quickly as well, Ryan, I think that's a really good point, because, like, for example, come the second half of the season, let's say we do have a full fit squad, let's be real, he probably doesn't start with the players we've got. So we can't be too disappointed if he doesn't get as much game time. And I don't think he can be too disappointed. As long as he's getting minutes in some shape or form, I think he can. But I think just basically now, because he's got a bit of a run of games, he might think, oh, well, now I'm sort of like a starter or whatever. But actually, I think he's way ahead of his development plan. I don't think he was even meant to play this amount of games at this point. So, yeah, that's a really good point, Ryan. I think it's definitely worth bearing that in mind.
I remember at the beginning of the season, I think there was a press conference where Serbia was talking about potentially like sending him out on loan, wasn't there? Because he wasn't going to get much game time here. But obviously, injuries have kind of helped him out there. And yeah, you're absolutely right. I think, Matt, there's no way he was probably meant to play or get this many minutes at this stage of the season. But at least he's grabbing it by the horns, isn't he? And I just want to finish on the song. Buonanno.
Buonanno. I hope we don't get copyrighted for this.
What, this song?
I think it's from ESPN, isn't it?
Yeah.
Ben's realisation once he finds out it's ESPN.
No, that's right. It's not footage. It's only commentators singing and being silly. Yeah. But what a song.
Yeah,
what
get bloke. Done now. Golden Buonanno. No, it's great because they did similar with Alexis, didn't they, as well? I think it was like
Alexis.
Wasn't it?
Yeah. What was that one again?
It's like God the Alexis. But yeah, the Argentinians love us, and I think we've got another one in the pecking order with Valentin Barco as well. I'm sure he'll be another one that comes through from Argentina. But yeah, the connection to these players that we've got is so good. And I think that yesterday was so needed after that Luton game. We're all so down It is, as we said, it's going to happen. These moments are going to happen. You don't expect to lose four, but you definitely expect to lose more games than you're going to expect to from the beginning of the season. Just how many injuries we've had. But yeah, you're right, Ben. And Maz, actually, I can't remember who said it, sorry. And when we come back, there's a great influx of especially attacking players now. As you say, we've got Mitoma coming back for Tottenham next week. We've got Adingra, he's actually progressed through, by the way. He got a goal for Ivory Coast and set up the second for the winner. So that's huge for him. But again, these are great players that are going to be coming back, Ansu, as you say. But yeah, that second half then. So you would say drop off, yeah. I think maybe we got a little bit complacent for about 5 or 10 minutes and it allowed Palace to score a very, very easy goal. Probably woke us up a little bit. Mateta, to be fair, is a great header. But the game was a bit of a consolation at that point. But I don't know, maybe it's one of them where we're trying to preserve a bit of energy, Maz, and then you know, we just got caught sleeping a little bit, didn't we, with Munoz, I think it was. And I can't remember who the ball in, I think it was Anderson. But we just looked like we were asleep at that moment.
Yeah, it was Anderson. Great cross, yeah. Though.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was one of those, like you said, Ryan, we definitely fell off in the second half. In terms of, well, for that first, I'd say 15, 20 minutes, it just... we didn't really look like the same team we were in the first half. And I think that's normal. When you go 3-0 up, I think naturally you do get complacent. You do think, right, yeah, you know, 3-0 up, we're comfortable here. And I think naturally players will get complacent. And you saw that. And it's, to be fair to Mateta, great header, absolute bullet header, slightly different to the other two headers that were scored. Yeah, a bit more power. And yeah, it was a great header. Maybe poor defending from our side, but yeah. No, good goal and can't really sort of fault it in that sense. Just quickly, sorry, I was meant to say this a bit earlier on. Jan-Paul van Hekker, by the way, his range of passing is outrageous. Like, I think he got 11 out of 11 yesterday, his long-range passing. And you can just tell he's learnt from Lewis Dunk, because Lewis Dunk is one of the best ball passers in the Premier League as a central defender. And you can tell van Hekker's been picking that up, because... it is actually a joke. When I was watching this, I was like, how is he spraying these passes with ease? Like, he just made it look effortless as well. So, sorry, yeah, that was just a side note I had to put out there. Jan-Paul van Hekker, he is maybe as good of a passer as Kevin De Bruyne. That's all I'm going to say, all right?
He's better with balls than Tom Garrett.
Yeah, I mean... but yeah, while we're on the subject of individual performances, I wanted to mention this man. And it's a different JP, but João Pedro, the amount of ground that guy covered yesterday, with as much quality as he covered yesterday, was genuinely one of the best performances I think I've seen as a Brighton player for anyone. And that goes for anyone I've seen play for Brighton. Honestly, I've not seen someone cover so much ground. He was everywhere. And his turns were fantastic. Obviously, his goal was out of this world, but honestly, what player João Pedro is turning into. I mean, Ben, I'll let you go over a little bit of him, because he's really, really coming on, a bit like how Jan-Paul has. I mean, words don't give enough credit to João Pedro at the moment. For me, he was man of the match. I was quite surprised to see Dunk get it. To
That's
be fair.
Classic, though, isn't it?
But yeah, I'll let you speak, Ben.
It's always going to be Dunk. It's always going to be Dunk.
Weird, wasn't it? That was weird, though.
It was just to rub salt in the wounds, I think, to Palace, yeah. To be honest. I think that's the only reason why Dunk would have got it. But yeah, João has properly come into his own now. He's so, so confident. Just the way he, like, runs the ball, like, he kind of just runs into space and just, like, does little tricks and just runs back into danger just to take people on again and kind of take the piss, flicking over people's heads. You can tell, like, yeah, I mean, obviously he's Brazilian, but you can tell he's Brazilian by some of the stuff he does. He's so, so talented. And obviously that goal is incredible. We'll get onto it eventually. But yeah, it almost like parts of the game, like when we're in the second half, when we kind of took our foot off the gas, I don't think he was probably one of the few players that didn't take his foot off the gas. He was kind of just like making it his game, to be honest. Every time he got the ball, almost running the show at times. But yeah, he's phenomenal. And what an absolute bargain, 30 million.
I saw as well, someone said he spun Gehi into an ACL.
Oh, God.
Obviously,
he did spin him though, didn't he?
He did spin him. Yeah, obviously, I don't wish an ACL injury on anyone. But yeah, I did find that quite amusing.
Speaking of injuries, before I forget though, like where I was, we had like players warming up in front of us, that like West Lower bit. Yeah, Elise was like, when he was warming up, someone said that he like was grabbing his hamstring and then just went back as if like he couldn't warm up because his hamstring was so bad. And then they brought him on. I was thinking, what on earth are you doing bringing him on if he was injured? Because obviously he comes off straight away, which is even more embarrassing for Palace. But what is Roy or whoever one of the coaches thinking? Because he stopped warming up because he was injured, for fuck's sake. Why is he coming on?
That's insane. You're 3-0 down, right? And you bring on Elise. Let's be honest. You're never going to win. You're never going to come back. Let's be so real. Like, okay, I get it. He's trying to be positive. He's trying to make a positive change. I do understand that. But at the same time, he's your star player and you're risking him for them potentially now. He could be out for 5-6 games for all we know now. Like, I just didn't get the thought logic behind it at all. But I did thoroughly enjoy the ringing of Hodgson, we want you to stay, which was class. Good banter from our fans there. But very, very odd decision from Roy.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Guy lasted like 5-10 minutes. And like he obviously got outpaced by Gilmore, which was quite funny. And then, he looks back at the bench and it's a total humiliation for everyone. For Crystal Palace, I mean, this is the most that one of us has done to each other in a long time. A long time. Like, there hasn't been a humiliation to the point where it's embarrassing. I mean, it was embarrassing for Palace. I mean, there was not many fans left there. Roy Hodgson had to sort of hold his head in shame with that one. I mean, Steve Parrish must have been just itching to get out of there. Elise just gave up on the game with his injury, and it was just... it was an ultimate humiliation on so many different levels that I think it's, as João Pedro did for his celebration, it was a killing. The finish
that was
for that, we needed that decider. just Danny Welbeck, mate, what a run that was. He's come from his own box, I'm sorry, from the edge of the, from the centre box, the centre circle apparently exists box. These days. He's come from around about there, centre box. He's come from around there, somewhere like that. He's run forward, but he's completely taken the defence out of the game. João Pedro's done a little 1-2. The flick is to die for. The finish with the outside of the foot, the celebration. It just about topped everything off and finalised the humiliation, didn't it, Ben?
Yeah, it did. I'm not going to lie. When Palace scored their one, I was like, surely not. Like, that part of me was like, oh, for fuck's sake. Because they turned it on a little bit, didn't they?
Yeah, it did. Spurs.
They turned it on a bit, and I was thinking, oh my God. Like, and then I think Edouard had a decent chance where he could have scored as well. And then you're thinking, oh my God, what's going to happen next? But just to put the game to bed like that. And I think you said it perfectly, but that flick by Welbeck was unbelievable. It's just like timed perfectly, placed perfectly. João Pedro had too much pace for Anderson just to slot it into the bottom corner. Past Henderson as well, who isn't really having the best time at Crystal Palace, let's be honest, with all the potential that he had. The celebration, like Maz just done it, if you saw. 1, 2, 3, 4. That's 5. Fuck me, my brain's gone. Then the slit of the throat. It was an absolute killing. And the celebration was so cold. Absolutely love that bloke.
But Maz, how many times have we said it? We need that killer. We want to just kill a team. And to have that moment, we've had, 4 or 5 years of this now against Palace. We've just been dying for something like that to happen. But the way that it did, that João Pedro goal. I mean, you've got to give some praise to Danny here. I'm sure of it.
Oh, mate. I'll give props to Danny when he deserves it, for sure. No, mate, he's fantastic. It was a great, the two assists from Gross and Welbeck. Just, I think, they're much more experienced members of the squad, but they know to, they're so good at getting into the right positions. And I think that's what you've got to give credit to Danny Welbeck. He's so good at getting into the right positions and making those runs. And just, yeah, that goal, the play between the two was fantastic. The synergy between them, the understanding that he knew, you flick it onto me, I'll be there. I'll put it away. So yeah, it was just a great, great goal all round. And like Ben said, one of the coldest celebrations you'd love to see against Crystal Palace. But no, you're right, Ryan. In terms of actually fully killing off teams, and you know, when we get to that, yeah, you go 3-0 up and then you go 3-1 and you think, right, are we now going to concede another? Is it going to go 3-2? Is it potentially going to go 3-all? You have that sort of seed of doubt just because of, you know, what we've done in previous games. And like I mentioned, the Spurs game, especially, that, you know, that reminded me, as soon as that first goal went in, I was like, oh God, are we going to do a Spurs here? Like, make it shaky towards the end. But yeah, thankfully we didn't, and we put them to the sword and made it 4-1. And yeah, shout out to my mate G as well, by the way, who put 4-1 bet before the game, put a tenner on. I swear to God.
No way.
And he cashed out.
Screenshot didn't happen.
I swear to God, I'll send you a screenshot. Ben, you can put it on screen. He cashed out a £250. It was a £340 payout, and he cashed out a £250 after we scored the fourth. So yeah,
fair credit. Play.
I mean, I would not have been able to predict us to win 4-1 prior to the game. So fair play to him. But yeah, unbelievable.
That's a great effort. I do want to also add, this is really random because I've never really recognised it. I don't think I watch football the same way you do, Ryan. But like, because I was really close. I was probably like four rows back. I've never really been that close to the pitch at the Amex. You can like see the players' faces obviously so clearly and watch them at a completely different angle to what I normally would do. I was just watching Billy Gilmore for quite a while, and like the amount of scanning that bloke has to do, I know they all do it, but like he's literally constantly just like this. His head's like moving all the time, and it must be so hard to concentrate for 90 minutes doing that constantly, which is why obviously players do drop their concentration every now and then. You'll hear a commentator saying that he's caught ball watching because he wasn't concentrating on what his role was. But yeah, he must have like really sore neck every day, every night after that, because honestly, the amount of times he's turning around, quickly looking, glancing, it's like that Chabby video, the viral one.
I was just about to say, yeah.
Yeah, don't say it. I think we will say it. We were saying it. Oh, sorry, I thought you were going to say something crude about the... No. But yeah, what a bloke. And I think he thrives in those games, isn't he, with those possession matches. Gets found out in a game like Luton, but when he's in his best environment,
there was a couple of moments Gilmore did give the ball away and he got dispossessed, but nothing crazy. Not enough to single him out, because I thought everyone was fantastic. I don't think there was one player on the pitch where you think, oh, he was poor or he had a bad game. Like, everyone was fantastic.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was just a few moments where... Oh, yeah.
He almost dictates the play as well. Like, see him like pointing and telling everyone where to pass it and where to go. It's mad. I think, Ryan, you said it like a couple months ago, like how you think he's going to become a leader in the team. And yeah, I think you're absolutely right. You can see it already, how important he is into the team. And I think personality off the pitch, but also on the pitch, he seems to be becoming a leader. And maybe your shout for future captain isn't as wild as one seemed. Well, as it seemed back in, when was it? November, October time.
Yeah, I'm so glad you picked up on small things that players do, because it's probably one of my favourite parts of football, is watching just little tiny characteristics and attributes. I think seeing, you know, Gilmore's vision of the game is different class, but also, as I said, João Pedro's running, Pascal Gross' intelligence, like things like this is exactly what makes this team so good. I think João Pedro also counts for the intelligence part, but I mean, you think about the amount that guy ran to then come onto that ball that Danny Welbeck's put into space. He's chased that down before Henderson was going to get there, before Anderson was going to get there. I had an absolute shocker. You know, it's those sort of little moments that are so decisive. But it couldn't happen to a better team, which is great. But yeah, I agree with you, Ben. I think Billy Gilmore is a future leader. He's definitely a future leader for me. Him and Van Hecker have been exactly that. But yeah, Pascal, I just wanted to mention quickly, because I saw people finally giving him a bit of credit outside of Brighton, which I was surprised by, because I'll keep saying he's underrated until everyone appreciates how good he is outside of this club. Because I think I saw that, yeah, they said that he's got to be going down as one of the biggest bargains in Premier League history. I think it was, what, 2 or 3 million we signed him for. The amount of return we've had out of him is just a joke. He's pushing for a dark horse for player of the season again. The amount of assists that guy racks up is ridiculous. The amount of chances he creates is ridiculous. Someone needs to get a stat up against De Bruyne and Bruno Fernandes updated, please, because I don't know. I want to see if he's still in that top three bracket. Because you look at Salah, De Bruyne, or Fernandes, you know, these are names that are like icons of the Premier League. And he competes with them year upon year and just goes about it. And I think until people start talking about him in them sort of conversations, we're going to keep saying how underrated he is, because it's another huge performance.
Mm. We mentioned it in the last episode. He's finally getting... I think Peter Drury was the one that said it, didn't he? And you said, I can't remember, who was it? Ben Goldberg or something like that?
Oh, yeah. Podcast, Alex Goldberg.
Alex Goldberg.
Yeah, yeah. Alex. Yeah.
So the fact Peter Drury saying it is incredible. It's nice to see that he's getting recognition. He hasn't won. He hasn't won Brighton Player of the Season yet, has he? I don't think he has.
I don't think so.
First season he did. Yeah, first season he did.
Did he season? All right.
Premier League.
Okay, I didn't know.
Definitely. Definitely.
Well, he needs another one anyway.
He was lethal first season.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. Pascal. Yeah, for me. Go Do you know what? I think people have cottoned on. Hopefully more. I know. I still agree with you. I think still a big part of the Premier League fans don't know how good he really is because they don't watch him week in, week out. But I think he is now getting there towards like being an established, renowned Premier League footballer because of how good he is. Like you can't look at him and not think he's intelligent. He's technically gifted. He's just an incredible all-round player. And do you know what? Another thing about when I talk about Facundo running everywhere, again, Pascal Gross, like, he looks like he's blowing, yeah? Like, from the fifth minute.
He's 5 minutes in.
He's just got an engine on him. Like, you know that whole German stereotype of them having incredible engines? I mean, he fits the bill, to be fair to him. But yeah, he's just got so many attributes, like the footballing IQ, the technical ability, the fitness levels. He's just got so many good attributes that you want, you know, footballer. And he feels like a model professional as well. Like, when everyone else is maybe losing their heads or, you know, you need that kind of... Again, we talk about leaders. We're looking at Billy Gilmore. Pascal Gross, for me, is one of those silent leaders. He might not be the most vocal, but he gives you that aura of being a calming and established presence. So you feel better when he's on the pitch. So, yeah, he's just so, so good. And, yeah, I think every week we talk about how good he is, but... That's what we can do, really.
He looks hungover all the time for some reason. I don't know why.
That's actually not a bad shirt.
He's got those like dark sunken eyes, isn't he? He always looks like he's absolutely knackered after a big night out on Bar 32.
I've still got that video of him doing balloons in my head, you know. I'll never forget.
What a hero.
2009.
Birthday balloons, wasn't it?
Something else.
It was someone's birthday party, wasn't it? Yeah. It wasn't anything else.
Yeah, mate. Social media 2019 was crazy for Brighton stuff. Like,
still crazy.
Just find absolute gold. Yeah.
I don't know
if anything touches back then.
No, yeah, we did have quite a few videos coming out back then, didn't we? Jesus Christ. Think of all the scandals we've had in the Premier League. It'd be pretty mad.
Pascal.
Thank God we don't have a lot
Billy
of them anymore.
Well. Mr. Columbia.
Yeah, Jesus.
Or Ecuador.
I was just going to say, my friend made a good point literally just now in a WhatsApp chat. He was like, yesterday felt like a proper game because there was like no VAR or any delays or anything like that, were there? It literally just like a normal football matchup you haven't probably seen for a long, long time. It did just feel like a normal football match. That's a pretty good point.
That's what happens when there's only one team on the pitch, to be fair.
Yeah, there was.
I mean, they didn't do anything for it to happen, mate, to be fair. Like, there was nothing that... Palace didn't even do anything. Like, it was literally one team on the pitch. And that's that quote, isn't it, from De Zerbi from last week, which is exactly what we needed. Because he said, we had already won this game as soon as full-time whistle went against Luton. This was our game. This was it, 100%. They were going to... He said in the press conference the other day, and he said, no one's talked to each other. No one said anything. We're not speaking. We're just... He said, because you get lost with words. Words can come out wrong. You can say the wrong things in wrong times. Just no one speaks about it. We'll take it out on Palace. What did we do? We did exactly that. I mean, it's mentality to another degree, isn't it?
I 100% agree. But also just want to talk about how bad Palace were. Like, they just, apart from that Jeffrey Schlupp effort and the goal, they generally offered zero.
Sam Park is falling down.
Literally. Oh, and then as soon as the third goal went in, they got their little flag out, which was and then I think apparently their own fans told them to bring it down. Apparently, that's what I heard. So that's why apparently there was some, because they started fighting each other, didn't they? Their own fans, which is always great to see. But yeah, apparently, I don't know if it stemmed from the flag, but yeah, that was apparently one factor of it, because some fans didn't want the flag being put up and then some did. So yeah, don't know what happened there. But anyway, on the pitch, they were terrible. And even, you know, some of the subs they brought on, obviously Elise coming off very quickly, Wharton not being that impressive, losing the ball quite a lot. I just thought they offered zero. They had no fight. They
what
had
a debut. War a day.
Yeah, what get it. I like that. War a day. Yeah, nice. I saw what you did there. Seven. That was good.
Didn't mean to do that, but I'll take it.
I didn't think you did, but I thought I'd give you the credit. It just showed no fight. Roy Hodgson's just clueless, isn't he? And I'd love for him to stay as long as possible. It'll be great. But yeah, just a really, really poor performance from Palace. And I know they were missing Ezen Elise, who are integral. But like you said, Ryan, right at the beginning of the show, we were missing loads of our players too, so it's not really an excuse in that sense. You still want to show fight, you still want to show a bit, especially in a rivalry game like that. So yeah, if I was a Palace fan, I'd be absolutely seething.
You're saying how clueless they were. You know, their assistant manager Ray Lewington, who's also like 80 years old, that's just, when I was walking to the station, I'm trying to find it, he was literally just like walking with his Crystal Palace suitcase with like his grandson and his son. Oh wait, it's there.
Oh my god,
it's just like in front of us all. It was absolutely, it was so bizarre. I was like, how are you just casually walking past us all like that? He was going to that car park near the university. I was thinking, why? Also, why is he not on the coach one?
Maybe to get home, maybe, Ben? I don't know. Maybe
yeah, I know, but home. Surely you jump on the coach. Yeah, I don't know. But I just thought I was very, very brave of him to be able to do that. Mate, he had a Crystal Palace badge on the suitcase he was just dragging in front of us. I was like, was that Ray Lewington, lads?
He does work for Palace, to be fair, Ben. So.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, like, you just think you'd be a bit more safe than just walking out. Well, not broad daylight, because it was nighttime at that point. But
you'd like to think, people were not going to attack an 80-year-old man who works for Crystal Palace.
No. Well, you never know, or even just verbal abuse. Yeah. But you know, fair enough. We're a nice fan base. We don't do that, so that's all good. Well, I can't remember.
Yeah, sure.
Oh yeah, the only delay we had in the game was we thought there was going to be a penalty when there was like a handball incident. And then the referee looked like he's walking over to the screen. Everyone's going, hey! And then it was just to give De Zerbi a yellow card.
Oh, yeah, that was on the edge of the box, wasn't it? That definitely should have been handball for me, though. That stopped a goal scoring opportunity for me.
100%. And also, as well, what was it, the other decision as well?
De Zerbi's out for Spurs, isn't he? He won't be on the touchline, I think.
De Zerbi's out for Spurs, yeah. That is peak.
Muldera ball back. Love it.
We actually got a good track record with Muldera.
I think we have, yeah.
Big up.
Yeah, he's won like 4-0, 6-0.
Yeah.
We've won like some huge score lines with him. I don't know why. He just seems like he's cooking, you know what I mean?
And he loves Seagull Social as well. So, Maldera, you're the GOAT. You're the GOAT, GOAT.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he's actually probably our number one fan.
Yeah,
he loves it. Might be, yeah.
Yeah, need to get some exclusives. Andrea, if you're watching this, mate, one, we love you. Two, get in touch. We'd love to have a conversation with you about anything, literally. But yeah, just to sort of finalise everything off then, what day? I'm not going to forget that day for a long time. Luckily, we've got a whole week to enjoy it. You know, we don't play again until next Saturday for Spurs. But it would just be so funny for me if this is it for Palace. Like, if we've, you know, their running is tough and we could have been the ones to really, really sink them, because their holding grace was always that they, you know, they don't lose to us that often. But, you know, we've really smashed them and it could be so funny for them to go down. I don't agree with the fans that say they want them to stay up for the rivalry. I would love them to get relegated now and spend a good 3 or 4 or 5 years in the Championship. And the last thing they remember is us absolutely smashing them. But yeah, it would be great if they get relegated. I would celebrate. And if Potter goes there and gets them down, even better.
that would be funny.
That would be unreal. The only thing is, though, annoying thing is that the fact we beat them 4-1 means very likely that Hodgson gets sacked, which is annoying. Because if we'd only beaten them 1-0, he probably would have had till the end of the season. But because we absolutely smashed them.
Potter's Palace.
Potter's Palace. But yeah.
I really hope Potter doesn't go there. Part of me thinks that Potter's going to wait for the England job when Southgate leaves in the summer. That's what I'm thinking.
Do you know what? I want Potter to go there just so he'll be crap. I think he'll be awful there.
Do you? Mate, I mean, yeah. Without Eze and Elise, I think we've said it before, but they are genuinely a championship side. They are so shy without their two-star players.
Yeah.
So if they're out, well, right. If Elise had left in Jan, that would have been incredible. That would have been so good. Cause without those two players, they're going down
for sure. If
you look
at the bottom of the table, right? They are, like, Sheffield United, okay, they're pretty awful. Burnley will go down. But Everton are better than them. Forest are better than them. Luton at the moment are better than them. Brentford are better than them. And Bournemouth are better than them. So that literally just leaves them, Burnley and Sheffield United. And you'd argue, if it was a one-off game, I would fancy Burnley or Sheffield United against them. The way they played against us, they were just so passive. I wouldn't be surprised if they did go down. And even a lot of Palace fans that I know said, you know, they are like one of the worst teams in the league. And they actually are.
Jesus.
And I think Everton will be all right. If Everton get some of their points revoked again, you know, that puts Palace right down in it. Because Brentford got Tony back. They'll be fine. Brentford will be fine. Sorry, Everton will be fine. I think Forest and Luton are better than them as well. So yeah. I would be surprised if they aren't in a huge relegation scrap.
That would be absolutely you'd love to see get relegated. I'm on both sides though. Like, part of me wants them to be in the Prem, so we have that fixture to look forward to. The two big games in the calendar every single year.
Nah.
But then obviously, the other side. How hilarious would it be for them to get relegated and struggle getting back up in the Championship, watching them having to play constantly against absolute dross. Mm. So I think it's a win-win either way. If they stay up, cool. We have two great days out. But if they get relegated, scenes injected, like Matt said.
Also, as well, D, I know you're not watching this, but hold that L, bro. Hold that L.
Oh, I forgot about D.
love it. He messaged me before the game going, good luck, mate. I was like, yeah, don't worry about it. We won't need any luck.
Do you message him afterwards?
Yeah, he's shocked he hasn't replied. All I saw was his angry tweets just saying, get Parrish out, get Hudson out.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
You love to see it.
The only ones I know is that Wednesday guy. This is for you at Wednesday.
Oh, yeah.
This is for you at Talk CPFC Ollie. All the Palace creators out there, unlucky. Because, I'm sorry, they would do it to us, and I'm sure they would quote our names in their own podcast if they just went and smashed us 4-1. So, yeah, who cares? Nice. I think that's just about. I think we've done it justice, haven't we?
Yeah, my final sign off from me is this is a lovely chant written by our very own Ben Spalding, if everyone's ready.
Hello.
Seagull Social's falling down. Maz Mezadeh's a fucking clown. Spalding's editing for 10 more years. Ryan Adsett's on the beers.
This was written before the podcast when
at least I'm the one on the beers and not the one getting memed.
Yeah. So sorry about the quality of my audio. My camera and audio probably. Right.
Shout out Maz's sister for setting it up. That was quite funny. Me and Ryan were just sat here waiting and then Maz's screen popped up and it was his sister. I was like, oh, Maz has grown his hair out there.
mate, I had head nods.
She scared me. I was like, what's going on?
I had an absolute head loss, mate. I was not in a good way before this podcast. But yeah, we're here now. We made it.
We done it.
Nice. Okay, make sure you've liked, comment, subscribe. And also comment any thoughts of the last however long. I mean, to be honest, I don't know if you can even give enough justice. I feel like we could still give more, but just what a day. What a day. All that emotion. Let us know all your emotions in the comments below. Anything you've agreed with, disagreed with, and whatever. Make sure
a shout
you
out to everyone that said hello yesterday as well.
We'll see you.
Got a lot of love.
Yeah,
in
them too.
After the game.
And we'll see you.
Big up.
Yeah, Fez. And we'll see you just before Tottenham.
Top Spur? What's that?
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.